Welcome to Executive Peaks, Natalie. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sasha, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Do you have a morning ritual? What is it?
Oh, a morning ritual. So I usually get up around 4:45 a.m. I exercise. I like to do push-ups. Sometimes I do stairs, depending on what's happening. And then I shower, have a good breakfast, and I usually start working around 6 a.m.
What is the best constructive guidance you've received in your career?
Oh, the top of my head. Somebody, I was at a conference sitting in the audience beside a friend, a very good friend, actually, and I was listening to the speaker. This was like 20 years ago, and the speaker said something that I knew, and I told my friend, I said, oh, yeah, I knew that, and she looked at me, and she said, well, knowing and not doing is like not knowing at all. And because she knows me very well, and she knew that I was not doing what the person said. But it stayed with me, and this knowing and not doing is like not knowing at all. And it gave me the enthusiasm, really, of listening to all advice differently, because sometimes it's just a reminder of what you should actually be doing. But maybe you know it, but it's different, right? Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. That is very powerful. What is the best constructive guidance you've given to someone?
I would say that the number one, maybe it's three sentences that I use all the time with all my clients as I do one-on-one coaching and with the kids as well. People don't want advice. You know, have you ever had a friend that told you, oh, I have this brilliant idea, I'm going to do this, and you're like, dude, I've been telling you this for 3 months. Everybody's been telling you to do this, but no, all of a sudden you have the idea, because that's how it works. People want to have the idea themselves. They don't want your advice anyway. They don't want to know what we think. So whenever somebody asks me an advice, I say, you are very resourceful, you're awesome, and you will figure it out. Because that's the best thing that I can tell somebody. And then the person gets empowered because they know to dig inside themselves. They have all the answers anyway, and they don't want to know what we think. So to tell them it's okay to trust you, I tell them, I trust you. You are very resourceful, and you will figure it out. That's probably the best advice I can give to anyone.
What is the life mantra you live by?
The life mantra that I live by? Oh, interesting. I love your questions, by the way. This is great. Life mantra. My three things are, and I have a chain on my neck where it's engraved. It's always one. It's about inspiring. So if I can be what I teach, then other people can look and be inspired by what I do, not what I say, but if I can be it, I can inspire people. Motivate is the whole teaching part, and like inspire is for me to be my best all the time so that I can inspire others. Motivate is to teach all my mistakes to people and to tell them they don't have to do the same thing that I did because I screwed up so many times. So it's to help others. And then believe is the third part. So inspire, motivate, and believe. So believe is to believe in people and believe that everybody has a brain and they're fantastic, because my whole thing is about neuroscience and how we can eliminate the negative self-talk in our mind and our brain so that we can be our best all the time. So to believe in everyone and believe that everybody can succeed, so that it puts me in a better state of mind when I start working with my clients, if I believe in them.
Thank you. What is the one sport you excel at or wish you could excel at?
I there's a few things. I don't know if dance is considered a sport, but I started to dance at a very young age and to teach fitness classes as well. So I've been teaching fitness for about 33 years. I would like to think I excel at. I was actually Instructor of the Year for Canada in 2007. So I do have quite a bit of background in this area, and I am still teaching on the side about three nights a week to stay in shape while now my my coaching and speaking engagement and neuroscience career has taken off in a different direction, but it's still about wellness. But I do still teach fitness classes.
Do you have any hidden talents? What are they?
I love to cook. I am an avid paddle boarder as well. I paddle board. I live by the ocean in on the west coast of Canada. And I think that dancing could be considered a talent as well, I believe.
Absolutely. What is the most courageous thing you've done in the past year?
When the pandemic hit, I'm a confidence expert. I help people get rid of their negative self-talk and find confidence so that they can make money living from their passion. And when the pandemic hit, somehow people would come to me, not necessarily to be coached, to work on their limiting belief and negative self-talk. They said, okay, I'm confident. Skip to where the part where you teach me how to make money. because I was... I have been doing business online for 4 or 5 years. So for me, all my academy was online. So everybody wanted me to teach them that. And people would, I charged $300 an hour. And I thought it's ridiculous for you to pay me $300 an hour for me to teach you where to click on Zoom, you know, to record a video. So the courageous thing I did is I recorded over 10 different courses for entrepreneurs. And I had to change my whole platform in order to be able to be accessible for them. It was a big learning curve to change the format of my online academy and to record all these online courses.
What is the biggest misconception about you?
I have to say that I have not been speaking English for a long time. I started to speak in my 30s. And at the beginning, when I really started to practice in English and to I wanted to be a motivational speaker. And my voice in my head was saying, what? You don't even speak English. You want to write books in English? Are you kidding me? You're French. Oh, are you going to supposed to do that? And the biggest misconception was myself first, because I was listening to the voice inside my head. And somehow, as I was learning English, a lot of people would speak to me really, really slow, as if it was stupid, you know, because my English was bad. But now I'm proud of this because I succeeded. I've written 16 books in English, and I make a living from speaking on stages around the world in English. So if I can do this, small town girl from Quebec City, everybody can, because I know that 25% of the population in the States and 22% of the population in Canada do not speak English at home. And English, most transactions are done in English. And I know how they feel. I know how it feels to have to deal with this barrier. And a big misconception about me for a long number of years was that I was not as intelligent as everybody else because I could not express myself as intelligently or eloquently as a lot of people. So that could be maybe a misconception that could qualify, I think, as an answer to this question.
When the heart and mind don't agree, what do you do?
Always trust your gut. We have between 50 and 80,000 thoughts a day, and we have about 7,000 billion, so 7,000 billion neural connection in the brain, and 100,000 of these connections are in our gut. So we are thinking with our gut. So sometimes when it's too logical and we're just thinking with our brain, the prefrontal cortex goes into what we call a prefrontal cortex overload, and we get empowered with so much powerful emotion that we can't think clearly. The gut, though, doesn't get into prefrontal cortex overload because it's not located in the brain, and these neurons are also thinking for you. So that's why when we say to people, trust your gut, it's because there are actual neurons down there that are helping you think. So for me, my rule of thumb is if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. And I always tell my gut, I always ask my gut to make the decision for me.
What is your favorite comfort food?
Ice cream.
Please finish this sentence. Promises are
something that you can set as a goal in order to fulfill what you want to do.
If you had only $10, what would you spend it on?
If I only had $10, what would I spend it on? I guess that the first thing that comes in mind is I count everything in children. I do work with children in Haiti. And with $10, you cannot sponsor a kid, but you can sponsor extra protein. The children I sponsor are $30 for a month that you would get with it, your uniform for the school, a toothbrush. You get sheets for their bed and sometimes extra protein, like a hard-boiled egg or chicken at one of the meals, because they get one meal a day at school. And when I came back from my first trip down there, my life completely changed. And I became addicted to making money. That's why my promise statement is I help entrepreneurs make money living from their passion. And I've been criticized for putting that in my promise statement and my purpose. And until I can explain to people that when you give money to good people, they do good things with it. And since I've gotten back my first trip maybe 5 years ago, if I want a pair of boots and it's $90, I think it's three children. Do I really need these boots? So I've changed a lot my relationship with money, and I feel like it's our duty to be stinky rich so that we can help the rest of the world. So it's a long answer. I'm sorry. That's just what I believe.
Last thing you do before calling it a day.
I tell my husband how much I love him. I declare my love to him, thank him for everything he's done during the day, and then we curl up and we snuggle and we fall asleep.
Are there any initiatives that you host or causes you support, Natalie?
Are there initiatives or causes that I support? Well, the Heart to Heart Foundation in Haiti is the one that that's got my heart. I do also love to volunteer, which has been difficult during the pandemic, but I go on Saturday nights usually to serve food to street people. So we have an organization called Night Shift close to where I live, and they have a food truck and a clothes truck. So every night at 7 p.m., they run 365 days a year, and I normally go once a week, serve food, but nowadays I'm not even in the truck anymore. We just walk around and chat and give attention to the people who are not as lucky as we were. So that's mainly, like, they're not really there for the food, but they're there for the connection, I think. A lot more than just the food or the clothes that we provide. So it has been very difficult during the pandemic because all the rules have changed and their immune system is really, really low. So it's not as easy anymore, and the contacts cannot happen as we used to. But there's still a connection there, definitely.
And finally, Natalie, what do you do and where can people find you?
So what do I do? I'm a confidence expert. So I work with people who want to find confidence so then they can unlock their full potential. If you're an entrepreneur, you can make money living from your passion. My academy is called Think Yourself, so thinkyourself.com. I've got so many different programs, and I can offer to all your audience the 15 keys to unlock confidence. So they would go to thinkyourself.com/confidence guide that will give them an amazing guide to reveal the 15 keys to really unlock that confidence and thrive. So thinkyourself.com/confidence guide. So all my courses are Think Yourself Confident being the number one. And also I have a series of Think Yourself a Tech Pro with four different courses, Think Yourself a Business Pro, Think Yourself Wealthy, Think Yourself Positive for children as well, for helping kids transform their inner language to build self-esteem and perseverance. And then I've got over 16 different courses, so there's tons to choose from. So thinkyourself.com, and if you want the confidence guide, you go to thinkyourself.com/confidence guide.
Thank you, Natalie, for joining us on Insecure Peaks.
Thank you so much for inviting me.